leading up, in fact, right now on the calendar, we're within that 10-day period of the ascension. In fact, I'll talk more about it in just a moment, but where Jesus Christ had told his disciples certain things. One of them was waiting. Do you remember last week? The focus was waiting. I think we agreed last week, we're not all good waiters. I'm among that group that's not really a great waiter. But sometimes we wait. But the idea of there is wait is not to wait with our chins on our hands in a corner somewhere. The idea is to wait to expect something. And I want to just remind us all that when we live a life in the kingdom, we should be expecting something. We should expect God to do amazing things. We should expect the unexpected. We should expect Jesus to return at any moment. Amen. The scripture tells us that. We live a life of expectancy. And again, I expect that God, as I've said all along, we've said all along, God's going to do some amazing things during this time in our country. It may be unprecedented in some ways, but I believe God has His mighty hand, and He's going to make some amazing changes in our culture that needed to be changed. As we said, middle of March, God has hit the reset button. Things have changed. Some of the things needed to change, despite the circumstances. So we're going to, in fact, we'll have you stand in just a moment because we're going to worship. But last week, we're in a series, Preparing for a Fresh Breath. It's in Acts chapter 3 when Paul tells the people, therefore, repent and return, that seasons of refreshing or revival, as some translations have, may come upon you. He didn't say, and one more season. He says seasons. I say that, church, because I believe that God is ready to pour out His Spirit in seasons. And I know a critical part of that is the church needs to be prepared to receive it. God does not pour His vessel, or His goodness out into a broken wineskin. He's ready for the church to say, okay. And again, we're using the apostles and the early Christians as our model. Leading up to the day of Pentecost, they were joined together. They were of one mind. There was unity. As I said before, I don't believe God's presence can fall in a divided church. I just don't know that that's possible. But I will say that they were together. They were gathered together. They were praying. In fact, that just leads me into where I'm going to do the introduction today. Because preparing for a fresh breath, last week was waiting. This week was worshiping. Say that with me. Worshiping. They were worshiping in the temple daily. In just a few moments, Pastor Sherry will come after our first song, and she's going to read the passage for today that tells us that specifically. It's found in the book of Luke. But we learn in Acts chapter 1, they were told to wait. That word wait means expecting to receive something. Expecting to receive something. And Jesus said it was the promise from the Father. Jesus said to them, John baptized you with repentance, but I will baptize you with the... Say it, the Holy Spirit. And John in his early days, in his ministry days, he says, there's one coming after me, speaking of Jesus. He's going to baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. Say it with me, with fire. Yes, we're going to talk more about that today. Fire will be a main theme of where we're going to be going today. But again, in Luke 24, and again, that passage will be read shortly, he said to remain, we're going to receive power from on high. The life of the believer is to be expecting. Amen? Amen. So sometimes we wait expecting. We wait. We wait for God to pour out His Spirit on us. We cry out to God. We wait for God to answer our prayers. We ask and pray and wait for God to meet our needs. And as I said moments ago, we are waiting for His glorious return. Amen? Amen. So please stand with us as we sing. We're going to get caught up from last week. That's our introduction. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Sing with us. Praise you, Lord.
All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saint. Let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming. Like a bride waiting for her groom.
Waiting, right? We're waiting.
God, we wait. You're coming.
Thank you, Jesus.
Soon.
Thank you, Jesus.
So we wait. We wait for you. God, we wait. You're coming soon. Like a bride.
rewards for us. And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Lord, we thank you, God, as every year of the season between Passover and Pentecost, God, we remember how the spirit of death passed over, indicating how the spirit of death would pass over us when you shed your blood on the cross.
That's right.
And then they waited for 50 days until Pentecost, until the church was empowered with the Holy Spirit, and the birth of the church came forth on the day of Pentecost. God, as we wait expectantly, God, I pray for a spirit of burning to come into our hearts, God.
Yes, Jesus.
To desire you, God, to desire nothing else more than you. That all the stuff in the world and even church itself.
Amen. That's right.
Is not the desire. The desire is to know you more. And I remember that it's written that as they walked with you, they said that didn't our hearts burn?
Yes, that's right.
God himself was among them, filled with the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that the one desire for this house and the one desire for your church across the world would be to know you more, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and fire that would enable us to witness with power, that would enable us to prophesy, that enables us to lay our hands on the sick and they will
Amen.
Recover, that enables us to walk in ascended life.
Amen.
Come on. And God, I pray Amen. For every person in this house, God, to just desire. God, I pray that you just loose desire over us, God, that our hearts would burn, that our hearts, God, would drive us to our knees until we've encountered the love of God ourselves, that we've encountered God himself. And God, I pray that you put that desire in our hearts, the desire to not stand for unrighteousness. God, to seek your face first and foremost in our lives. You are first and you are foremost in our hearts, God. God, I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you, God, in Jesus' name.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Praise. In the passage we just read, as I said, we're really just modeling what the apostles were doing in their time of waiting. I'm not one to predict time. I am one that knows the scriptures. I'm one who knows that God wants to pour out his spirit on our all flesh. I know that God is the giver of good gifts, and every good and perfect gift comes from above. I know that. My word tells me that. The Holy Spirit gives witness to it. And so as I said last week, I'll say again this week, I won't be satisfied with the mundane. I won't be satisfied. I don't think any of you will either, believers in this room, that saying, God, pour out your spirit as you did on the day of Pentecost and so many times after, that seasons of refreshing, the times of revival would come. This isn't about changing us as individuals. This is about a movement that I believe God wants to do in these last days to redeem many souls and bring them back to Jesus Christ. I believe God wants to do a great work in our nation. Amen. I believe that. I believe that God wants to move. I was studying in my studies this week. I studied about just briefly about how the Welsh revival had set the fire at Azusa Street in Los Angeles in 1905, 1906. They had carried that, if you will, that torch in some ways. And you know, it was amazing because that Azusa Street revival, it is said by a number of accounts that people says even the fire company was called because of the fire that was coming from the building, that dilapidated old shed or store or stall, whatever it was, in Los Angeles. They said there was fire coming from it. It was the fire of repentance, the fire of holiness, the fire of God pouring out His Spirit. And I believe that I don't believe another revival is able to take place without first the people crying out to God and God redeeming and saying, okay, and hearing from heaven, coming to heal our land through the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that 100%. And so we keep pressing in this time, especially this time of year, when we commemorate the time of Pentecost. We look at the apostles, what they were doing, and we learned last week they were waiting. But while they were waiting, it says there in Luke 24, as was just read, it said that they were going to the temple regularly and they were praising God. That's our word these days for worship. In fact, the word praising is aneo. It means to sing praises in honor of God. It's a method of worship. We not only worship by playing instruments and singing, we worship by giving our hearts, we worship by giving our time, we worship in praying, we worship in ministry, we worship in serving our community, we worship in giving what God has given, we give back a portion to Him. We worship in so many ways. But today, the worship we're focusing on is, it says there, again in Luke 24, verses 52 and 53, they were praising God in the temple, singing praises of honor. And that's what today is about. If you haven't concluded that already, I want to underscore. We're here to worship. Do you like to worship? Well, then today's your day, because we have the last week we were waiting. This week we are worshiping, crying out to God, thanking God with a heart of gratitude for what He's done for us. Praise Jesus. So I've taken the time in my notes to just break down to three categories. And so what I'll be doing is I'll be preaching, then we're going to be worshiping. I'll be preaching, then we're going to be worshiping. So be prepared to stand back up. We're not done. But the one thing one of the things we look to God in worship, we worship God for His majesty. His majesty, His sovereign glory. The word majesty itself means deserving of honor. It includes His sovereignty despite the circumstances. Can you say that with me? Despite the circumstances. God is majestic. I'm going to take us to a fellow named Job. You know the man. If you have your Bibles, feel free to turn there with me in Job chapter 1. I'm just going to read three verses in just a moment. Job was a righteous man. He was a godly man. He feared God. So much so that when his sons and daughters, it said he had seven sons, three daughters, and thousands of livestock. He was a blessed man. But we know that encounter in the heavenly courts, where the sons of God had come before the Lord, Satan had come the same day, and the Lord says, "Have you considered to Satan? Have you considered my servant Job down there on the earth? You've been going to and fro on the earth." And he said, "Job is a man who honors me." And Satan says, "Well, Lord, isn't that because he has good reason to honor you because you blessed his life?" And so God's basically takes his hands off Job, and we often look at this story, and so many things could go through our mind, like, God, why would you do this? But here's the answer, is this life, church, is not about us. I've concluded that at my age. Life is not about us. It's about what God wants to do. And if God, in this case, wants to reinforce and underscore in this heavenly battle that was going to take place, God knew the outcome. Satan thought that he could get one over on God and one of his people. And God and Job, who proved faithful, God showed him, no, that's not the case. I'm still in control of this universe. Amen? Job chapter 1, verse 20, I'm going to read here in just a second. But Job, because of the effects of Satan, who had been given some allowance by God, that Job lost all his sons and daughters. They were tragically killed. He lost all his livestock. He lost many of his servants. He began to mourn. He went into mourning as any of us would be crushed. We would be so broken by the circumstances that can change so suddenly in this life. It was almost though this happened at the same day, it would appear. And after all that took place, verse 20 of chapter 1, then Job arose and he tore his robe. He shaved his head. He fell to the ground and he worshipped. Let's say that again. And he worshipped. Despite the circumstances, you know, there's a reason it came to me. There's a reason why Job is in the Bible. There's a reason why, because he was faithful. Regardless of the circumstances, you read the book of Job. He didn't understand correctly. In fact, he was trying to defend himself before God. Said, God, I've been righteous. Like his questions were, God, why would this come upon me? I believe I didn't do anything wrong. He was busy trying to justify himself. But the answer was even beyond that. It wasn't a punishment. It was so the glory of God would be shown throughout the universe. And so Job is, he's crushed. He says, he fell to the ground and he worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I will return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. Wow. You talk about worship. It's easy to worship when things are going so well. I get that. But when things are difficult, and many of you know exactly what I'm talking about, even at this moment in time. Some of you have struggled with health issues. Some of you have struggled with family issues and cancer. Some of you have struggled with so many different things, relationship problems. And Job was no different. He was suffering so greatly. But his heart was set on God. And when things got worse, he didn't run. He didn't blame God. He bowed down and he worshiped God. Amen? Wow. It doesn't matter if we can understand it. In fact, it's in Isaiah 55, verse 9. You know the scripture. Isaiah is writing the words of the Lord. He's prophesying, as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Just bring it home. It's coronavirus. As I said before, I don't have any. I have no question. I don't believe in any way God caused this. You look, in fact, it's pretty obvious man caused this. And we could say, well, why, God, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? We don't see, because we don't have a mindset of what God, what he's doing across the universe, even through man's unrighteous works. We don't know. His ways are higher than our ways. He's worthy to be worshipped because he's the majesty. Amen? Man, wow. But Job did one thing. He did many things, but one thing, it was settled in his heart that the nature of God, despite the circumstances, the nature of God is good. Amen? Can we say that? The nature of God is good. And Job, even though he didn't understand and he even questioned God at times, why? He still knew the nature of God is good. Would you please stand with me? We're going to sing about that good God.
shadow where I hide. The ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. The king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. You are good.
Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let,
yeah.
Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are. You are good, good. Oh, you are.
was talking about. But you know what? God's in control. And I'm here today to worship Him. So I've been teaching 25 years in 7th grade middle level. And I got an email this week. I'm going to 1st grade.
Wow.
I was devastated, but my God's in control. And I know that I'm going to be blessed by that, those 1st graders. And I just thank You, Lord. I thank You for bringing a new thing in my life, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. You are
when the
good.
Is good.
Oh, You are
God. Is good.
Isn't He good?
Amen.
Wow. Please stay standing because we're not done worshiping by a long shot. Praise Jesus. So I start at the beginning of the book of Job. I'm going to go near to the end. Chapter 42. Begin verse 1. Job has three friends that come to counsel him, and their counsel basically is, Job, you must have messed it up somewhere. I know that's the short version. Job argues with it. No, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't really deserve this. Fun, in fact, the book is fascinating. A young man named Elihu shows up almost out of nowhere. It's a fascinating story. It's in 32. And he begins to counsel all these people, this young man, my personal belief is it's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. That's my personal belief. But whoever it was, this man begins to give counsel. And then God shows up. Who is this that counsels knowledge out of darkness? You don't know what you're saying, Job, and your friends. You don't know what you're saying. Who holds the storehouses of heavens where the snows are contained? Who gave the mountains their base? Who created the earth? Who draw its line and set the plumb line? Who made the behemoth? Who made the animals in the sea? And I set the borders on the sea and the land. This far you shall go and no further. And you're counseling out of darkness, man. That's what he's saying to Job. And God begins to give the dissertation of who he was, the nature of his majesty. Finally, Job gets it. He hears the voice of God. Even though he doesn't understand the plagues that came upon him and the loss of the family and the loved ones, he didn't understand it. But he says in verse 42, when God is done speaking, Job says, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I didn't understand. He confessed before the Lord, I'm the one that declared counsel without knowledge. Things too wonderful for me, which I didn't even know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and do not instruct me. I have heard of thee by my hearing of my ear, but now my eyes I see you. Therefore, I retract my grievances, and I repent in dust and ashes. He's saying, God, I couldn't understand it, I even spoke it. But now I will simply repent and say, you are good. Under any circumstances, you are good. Job was a man who was crushed. Can I tell you that? You talk about a crushing, there's the man that knows the crushing. And again, there's many in here, in fact, maybe all in some point in our life, we've gone through the crushing as believers. We don't understand why it's taking place, why that sudden, unexpected death that took place early in my childhood. God, I can't grab a handle on that. Why the loss of a good friend to cancer or an accident? I don't get that. Until we're able to confess and repent and say, God, as much as I don't understand, I acknowledge you're the creator of this universe. You created me. And someday I'll see you face to face and maybe I'll get to ask you those questions and get the answer. But until then, you are good. You are good. But I'll say this, with this crushing, these times of crushing and pressing, they bring, it's almost like we had the message a number of weeks ago. We talked about Smyrna, that little church that the only counsel that Jesus Christ gave to them because the persecution was getting worse. He said this, just be faithful to death. I'll give you the crown of life. Wow. That's hard. I have to die? But Jesus says, yeah, but the crown of life is waiting for you, believe. And so this crushing, it breaks. It's almost like the grapes that are crushed and they're destroyed. If you look at the grape, that the beautiful round grape of nature has gone in and come out nothing but pulp. But what also is there is the juice and the sweet fragrance of new wine. Amen? So please join with us as we talk about the new wine and sing about it. Understand in the crushing, in the pressing, church, he's making new wine in your lives. Let's sing. Sing together.
Here. sing, so make. So make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new. Lay down my old flames to carry your new.
God, that's our prayer. That's our heart's cry today. I don't know that anybody in this room would say, I want to be crushed. But at times we have been, some of us are. But God, we recognize that's what it takes sometimes. So God, I pray that we'll be ready to receive new wine. Even in times of crushing, something beautiful will come out of it. We can't understand like Job. Didn't understand. We acknowledge you as majestic. We acknowledge you as glorious. We acknowledge you as sovereign. We acknowledge you as mighty. We acknowledge you as powerful. We acknowledge you as reigning over the universe. We acknowledge it. Not one sparrow will fall to the ground without you knowing. We acknowledge you as the mighty God of the heavens. So make new wine out of us. Seated.